Hello and welcome to our site as we come to the third commandment today. We're in our series on the Ten Commandments, and today we consider the third commandment, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Watch your tongue, watch your life. Let's turn for a Bible reading to the Epistle of James in the New Testament, where he has a lot to say about the taming of the tongue, or the use of our tongue, our speech. Not many of us, he says in James chapter 3, verse 1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Just so far, and may God bless that reading of his holy word to our hearts today as we consider this third commandment that is given to us in Exodus chapter 20. There's our text for this series. The Lord God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, on above, or on earth beneath, in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And then the third commandment in verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. When our Lord teaches us to pray, what is the first thing he says we must do? In our prayers, in other words, in our lifestyle, hallow the name of God. The name of God that stands for who God is in his holiness and in his character. Well, my friends, have you noticed how fashionable it has become now for people who are surprised or shocked to exclaim, oh my God, oh my Lord? Hey, you hear it all the time. And sadly, even some of the popular televangelists think it's really cool to say, oh my Lord, or oh my God, or my Lord, or my God. Of course, you know, what about words like damn and hell that seem to flow freely from the lives of many Christians or so-called Christians? It seems they've become acceptable vocabulary in much Christian speech. Well, I'm afraid, friend, if we had a glimpse of the damned in hell, we would soon think again about any kind of blasphemous speech, which caused a church in Atlanta in the USA to have a sign bill outside the church that read, damn is not God's last name. Well, I don't know how you feel about the way God's name is tossed around in films, magazines, television, conversations of those who have no relationship whatsoever with God, but to the Christian, the follower of Jesus Christ, who loves the Lord and seeks to honor his name, it's disturbing and wounding to see language like this flow from the tongues of those who profess to follow the Lord, or even be teachers of his word. We're living in an age when people think their vocabulary is profoundly enriched and popularized when Jesus Christ is a substitute for a swear word. As Selwyn Hughes pointed out once, some of our popular comedians and television presenters talk as if they'd had a postgraduate course in hell with the devil as their speech instructor. Maybe we as Christians should do more to courteously point out that the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain or uses the name of God carelessly. Of course, the third commandment is more than a prohibition on the careless use of God's name in our speech, but that's not a bad place to start. The Lord himself is deeply offended when his name is profaned or blasphemed. Those who study the dynamics of profanity say that people who sprinkle their conversations with blasphemies and oaths that relate to God do so because of a deep insecurity in their own personality. They feel small on the inside and attempt to prop themselves up on the outside by linking their own puny personality to a great and mighty power. And to do it with arrogance makes them feel strong, like they're so great that they can bring down deity to their own level. Well, how pitiful is that? So really, a blasphemer is to be pitied as well as blamed. The ancient Jews would not even pronounce God's name. They held it in such high and sacred esteem. A copyist would be at pains to bathe, put on Jewish dress, and make sure he had enough ink on his pen to finish the divine name without having to stop in the middle with such an irreverent dip of the pen. It's said that even if a king addressed him while writing the name of God, the copyist would ignore him completely. Now that was legalism, perhaps, but it was 1,000 times better than today's libertarianism and the profanity that flows from people's mouths time and time again every day. The word profanity, by the way, comes from the Latin word pro, which means in front of, and fane, which means the temple. Those who use profanities take the sacred out of the temple and allow their hearts, minds, and thoughts to become a common marketplace. They reach up and take that which ought to be treated with awe and respect and drag it down to the sheep and the pigs and the common people, where the racketeering goes on. Now, those of you who are old enough to remember Charlton Heston, the famous film star, was once asked if any of the characters he played in his religious films had changed his spiritual outlook. He thought for a moment and said, "Well, you can't walk barefoot down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments in your hand and be the same person you were when you went up." It surely ought to be the same with us as Christians. How can you spend time in the presence of God, communing with God in prayer, speaking to him, saturating your soul in his word, worshipping him, and then toss his name around lightly? I even cringe when I hear Christians refer to God as the man upstairs or the big man in the sky and such terms. Such terms are not only ridiculous and ill-fitting of Almighty God, they are demeaning terms. That reduces God to the level of humanity and denies his divinity and his unrivaled sovereignty. Certainly God wants to have an intimate relationship with you and me, but we must be careful that it doesn't become a familiar relationship. There is a difference, a big difference. God is the Abba Father, the Daddy, the dear, dear Father of the Christ follower. He's the one whom we adore and worship, but he's not our buddy. He is our Father who is in heaven, and his name is to be hallowed. That's the first priority for the follower of God. True reverence, dear friend, is the realization that God's name is the doorway to the audience chamber of the Lord. May I say it again? God's name is the doorway to the audience chamber of the Lord Himself. Using His name ushers us into His holy presence. As you know, in Scripture, the names of God are always a description of God Himself. Every Hebrew name in the Old Testament that describes God, or is a title given to God, and there are several dozen of them, every name for God represents an encounter with God, where He revealed another aspect of His being, His character, or His attributes, like Yahweh M'chadosh, the Lord our holiness, Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace, Yahweh Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, Yahweh Rapha, or Rapheka, the Lord our healer, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. And so the names of Hebrew children were also not prompted by the names of film stars or sports icons or human idols, as is often the case today. They represented a prayer or a prophecy based on the parents' hope for that child's future. The names were given meaningfully. Every title given to God and recorded in the Hebrew language taught new facts concerning God's nature, His character, His being. This sheds new gleam of light, does it not, on the third commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God or take His name in vain. We must use God's name, friends, in a way that befits His holiness, His nature, His very essence. When we fail to do this, we misuse the name and thus break the third commandment. One of the ways in which the Israelites sinned was in taking oaths, making promises in the name of the Lord, and then breaking them. And God speaks through the prophet Isaiah in no uncertain terms. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 1. Listen to this, O house of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel, and come forth from the line of Judah, whose name means praise, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord, and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. They used the name of God, but their lives betrayed that name. In violating the revelation contained in the name of the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, they broke the third commandment. And so the third commandment says to us today, don't unhallow the name of God. Don't besmirch the name of God. Don't drag the name of God down. Don't diminish the name of the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the giver and sustainer of life, the God of all creation, the God of our salvation. Don't use His name carelessly or thoughtlessly. And don't abuse His name by using it to simply serve your own image, or your own ego, or your own advantage, or your own self-centered agenda. And this is where it gets really serious for the professing Christian. When we say, Lord, Lord, use the name of God, do not do the thing that God asks of us, we profane His name. We can even do that in singing hymns in church sometimes, singing with our mouths, yet not meaning it with our hearts, singing with our lips, and yet deep in our spirit, we're not carrying through the things that we sing about. That's one of the ways in which we can take the Lord's name in vain, or use the name of God carelessly. One Bible commentator hits the nail on the head when he says, and I quote, if the truth be known, profanity in the church is far more insidious form of evil than profanity in the world. The blasphemy of the sanctuary is a far more serious issue than the blasphemy in the street. End of quote. In everything we say or do as representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ in the world, we should ask ourselves, can God sign his holy name on what I am saying? Can God sign his holy name on what I am doing? Can he sign his name on the way I speak, the way I do my work, the way I fill out my income tax returns, the way I drive on the highways, the way I use money, time, energy? Can God sign his name on that? When I pray in his name, can he sign his name to the thing I am praying for? Is it the prayer in his name that is being denied by the life? That's what the blasphemy of the sanctuary is, when he used that expression. The blasphemy of the sanctuary is worse than the blasphemy on the street. In other words, for the Christian, it's the praise that is offered in his name from a defiled heart, where there is perhaps unforgiveness, or anger, a bitter spirit, or prejudice, or unconfessed sin. Praise offered from a life of inward rebellion, of unresolved conflict, of a critical or judgmental spirit. The names of God uttered by a self-absorbed person. It is Christian activity, work done in Christ's name, but done with a self-centered motive, perhaps done to look good, done to gain attention, done to boost our ego, a covert bid for recognition. There are so many ways, friends, in which we can actually profane the name of the Lord, use the name of the Lord carelessly. God help us from doing that. The Pharisees were on the receiving end of Jesus' harshest words when he was on earth. Why? Because by and large their religion was a vain show before men. Is it not a sobering, in fact a chilling thought, that a person can use the name of the Lord for personal gain and glory, and yet perhaps not even know the Lord in a living, loving relationship? At the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus seems to support the saying that blasphemy of the sanctuary is far worse than blasphemy in the street. He says, in that judgment day when we stand before him, not everyone will say, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. For in that day there will be people who have a lot to say, people who will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, or cast out demons in your name, and in your name do many wonderful things? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and the angels, and his angels, the demons, because I never knew you. Here's the tragic reality, friend. It is possible to use the name of the Lord even to your own advantage, and yet not truly be doing the will of God. What a terrible way to use God's name in a false way. The false apostles who derailed many of the believers in the Corinthian congregation in the first century were doing just that. And Paul has a stern warning against ministers and preachers who peddle the gospel for personal benefit and profit. And yet, how many popular preachers are not doing that today? God help us. God have mercy upon us. What a travesty of grace when the name of God is used to bring personal gain and glory. How sad to discover in the end that it was a shortcut to hell. And so the New Testament scriptures enjoin us to let our conversation, that is, not only our speech, but also our whole manner of life, to be salted with the condiment of grace. To hallow the name of God is not a cliché. It's a way of life, dear friend. God have mercy on us and cleanse us from every contradiction in our lives and from our lips that brings dishonor to the name of our Lord. And so James has a timely word for us in the use about our tongue that was read to us early on as we began our meditation today. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all fall sometimes, but a perfect person, a mature person, is able to keep his whole body in check, especially his tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, says James. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison, he says, because with the tongue we can praise our Lord and God our Father, and yet that same tongue can be used to curse people who've been made in God's likeness. The Apostle Paul's testimony before King Agrippa, which we find in Acts chapter 26 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul acknowledges that as Saul of Tarsus, the zealous religious Jewish Pharisee, he actually taught people and forced people to blaspheme, to ridicule, to mock, to profane the name of Jesus and his title as Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed Son. Saul of Tarsus was a blasphemer, a persecutor of those who bore the name Jesus, until one down the Damascus road he encountered the living Christ, and his life was transformed through that encounter with Jesus. And oh, how he regretted the times that he spent as a religious Pharisee denouncing the name of Jesus, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, causing people, forcing people, he says, to blaspheme that name. Well, here's the good news, dear friends. The gospel, the good news is that just as the Lord forgave Saul of Tarsus, the blasphemer, so the Lord is able to forgive us for our careless use of our tongues, and especially the times that we have taken the Lord's name in vain, the times when we've used the name or the names of God carelessly. And so let's respond to this wonderful news that the God of all grace is waiting for us right now to respond to his gracious invitation to come to him, knowing that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, knowing that if we yield our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Redeemer, the Holy Spirit himself will invade our lives, will inhabit our bodies, and will help us to bear the fruit of Christ's life and character, and that, of course, includes in a big way our speech, the way in which we use our tongues. The Holy Spirit is able to help us to live as self-controlled people. That's the fruit that he's able to bear, transforming our lives, our speech, into that which will glorify God and honor his name. Shall we pray together? Father, once again we thank you that your word tells it like it is, and we come now mourning the fact, grieving over the fact, that there are those times when perhaps we too have used your name carelessly, perhaps in the singing of a hymn, perhaps in a prayer, perhaps in our speech before others. God, have mercy upon us as we turn to the cross of Jesus once again and thank you for that precious blood that was shed on the cross, that we might find forgiveness from all of our sins. And we thank you, Father, that we can come to you for cleansing, forgiveness, for renewal and refreshing, and that you would take our lives now Consecrate us to yourself. Sanctify us, we pray. Set us apart for yourself, in word and in deed. And grant, dear Lord, that in spirit, soul, and body, we may honor you with our lips and with all of our life, to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.